Good evening, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Juliette Goodrich. We do start with new details from that deadly church shooting in Orange County.
One person was killed, five others were hurt. Here's what we've learned in the past hour. Officials say churchgoers actually tied up the gunman following the shooting in what police are calling an act of heroism and bravery. Suspect has been identified as an Asian male in his 60s who is not believed to live in the community. The five adult victims have been taken to the hospital. Many of those inside the church are believed to be of Taiwanese descent. This all happened at Geneva Presbyterian Church on El Toro Drive in Laguna Woods. Some residents in the area describe what happened.
From 12:45 to 12:50, I started hearing sirens off and on and on and on. They didn't stop for like 45 minutes. And I said, what the heck is going on?
And this is a look from the scene earlier in the day. Right now, officials say investigators are looking into whether the bloodshed could be a hate crime and whether the gunman was familiar with the church community.
Meantime, we are learning new details tonight about the mass shooting in Buffalo, New York yesterday. Authorities now say the shooter made threats to shoot up his high school last year and recently underwent a mental health evaluation.
He was evaluated and then he was released. As far as when we say on the radar, there was nothing picked up on the state police intelligence, nothing that was picked up on the FBI intelligence. Nobody called in, nobody called any complaints.
Today, both President Biden and New York's governor denounced the shooting, calling on the country to do more to stop hate. CBS News correspondent Kevin Rincon reports from Buffalo with the latest on the investigation.
This is not open season on African Americans.
In Buffalo, there's grief and anger the day after a mass shooting left 10 dead and 3 injured.
The message that should be sent is we won't tolerate this.
Angry, upset, heartbroken.
Jerome Bridges says he was working in aisle 14 at the Tops Friendly Market when a gunman wearing armor and military-style clothing opened fire.
I started running, and then he stopped firing for a minute, reloaded, and started firing again.
Police say it took less than 2 minutes for officers to arrive and force the gunman, who was live streaming the rampage, to surrender.
This individual came here with the expressed purpose of taking as many black lives as he possibly could.
According to police, 11 of the 13 victims were black.
The evidence that we have uncovered so far makes no mistake that this is an absolute racist hate crime.
Dion Elliott lost his brother. He was at the store buying a cake for his son's birthday.
And now I have no brother. He's got no father. Is that fair?
This community lost an 86-year-old mother of a retired fire commissioner. They also lost the life of a police officer who was retired working as a security guard.
I can't say enough about our retired fellow colleague, Aaron Salter, who confronted this individual to save the lives of others, and may he rest in peace.
The suspect is in custody on suicide watch after pleading not guilty to a murder charge. Police say so far the investigation shows he acted alone. Kevin Rincon, CBS News, Buffalo, New York.
Well, in other news, back in the Bay Area on a fire watch of all things, a major brush fire in Livermore. So far it has burned 132 acres. This is a picture from CAL FIRE showing the extent of the burn. Fire has been put out. It was burning along eastbound Highway 580 near North Lynn Road. The smoke did cause some traffic backups. No word on a cause. And in Vallejo, crews knocked down a 3-alarm wildfire about 2 in the afternoon today. It's right near Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Left a lot of hazy smoke across parts of East Vallejo.
Beta Breakers, well, it returned to San Francisco for the first time in 2 years, and thousands of runners took on the streets this morning. The race was put on hold because of the pandemic. That didn't stop runners today. They took off at the Embarcadero. They made their 7.5-mile journey across the city toward the finish line at Ocean Beach, many of them wearing costumes such as animal onesies, superheroes, even donuts. Runners telling us they were excited to be back.
It's really fun to see everyone in a group together and having fun and not worrying. It's so fun at a race that everyone, like, there's so many different kinds of people running. It's so fun.
It was really good. It was exhilarating. I had a great time, and I ran faster than I was expecting. I did leave my friends behind. I was so excited to run fast. I left them behind.
My run was great. It was very fun to be out here to see all the people dressed up in costumes and just all the festive atmosphere. It was very fun, and I do feel like it was especially festive, maybe because people are so excited to be back.
And one runner is making history at this year's race. Cal became the first non-binary runner to win in their gender category. It was the first time non-binary runners could compete in their own category and win awards. Cal started a campaign pushing for the change and gained a lot of support leading up to the race.
Well, COVID cases are spiking again, and the Bay Area is the state's COVID hotspot. San Francisco's positivity rate is now above 10%. That is more than double the overall rate in the state of about 4%. In the South Bay, Santa Clara University mandating COVID testing for on-campus residents for the next 2 weeks, but they are only recommending masking up.
On Friday, health officers in all 9 Bay Area counties urged people to begin wearing masks again indoors or at large gatherings. But as KPIX5's John Ramos reports, many people are making their own decisions this time around.
COVID-19 is still here, but the rules have been relaxed and a lot of the fear is gone. So we came to this car show to find out how people are feeling these days about the pandemic.
A fever used to keep you out of events, but at the Niles Spring Fever Car Show, it's almost a requirement. Here, people come from all over to view the unique, the antique, and the one of a kind, like this 1941 Lincoln Continental, one of only 300 ever made. The annual car show is so popular that when the pandemic hit in 2020, people brought their cars even after the city canceled the event.
But we couldn't close off the street. We couldn't get the city involved. We couldn't do whatever.
So the people staged their own car show?
Yeah, pretty much. And so all of a sudden, everybody's like, you know what? You're finally doing it. Here we are.
So the car show is back with more entries than ever. But take a look at the crowd, and it's hard to find anyone wearing a mask. The fear of COVID is pretty much gone. Even for Eddie Zakurski, who has a heart condition and has already gotten COVID once before.
I just don't think it's that big a deal.
It looks like you got a lot of company out here who feel that way.
You look around, you one in what, 100 has a mask on?
Officially, the county recommends that people mask up at large outdoor gatherings, but it's not required. The Bay Area currently has a 10% positivity rate, 3 times the statewide average, but few here seem very worried about it. Franco Pietraforte thinks it's just another flu and doesn't believe the vaccines work anyway.
If there was a vaccine that really worked, we wouldn't have it. It'd be gone, right?
Yeah.
Like the typical ones, right? So.
Not if people don't take the vaccine.
Well, that's true too, but then you can probably form an immunity to that.
Yeah, I know that's called getting the illness.
yeah, that's true. That can happen, yeah. But I think right now most people are okay with it.
But those who do mask up have different reasons for doing it. David Prakash works in a hospital.
I mean, it's just a part of life now, pretty much for us. I mean, you know, that work in the healthcare field, I mean, we feel naked without it. So.
And his father-in-law, Edward Carrillo, has an unvaccinated 1-year-old grandchild.
We're really got the mindset like this ain't over yet. There's still ways to go and kind of want to get back over that hump. We've been doing it for 2 years now, so why quit now?
But along with the fear, something else is missing, the anger. Everyone seems willing to let the other guy make his own decision. And that feels pretty good to Kathy Palestro, who doesn't object to masks, but enjoys a day out without having to wear one.
I don't think we're in danger now. Now, if the government was to come out and say, wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. But right now, it seems to be we're on our own.
In Niles, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
NATO leaders are in Berlin today to discuss more ways to support Ukraine, and also they're discussing moves by Finland and Sweden to join NATO. Two have already taken steps toward joining the alliance, and foreign ministers are expressing support. This all comes as the countries face threats from Russia.
And back here at home, a Bay Area doctor and nurse have come up with a way to help victims of the war in Ukraine. They knew people who would need medical supplies, and what they did not know at first was how to get it there. KPIX5's Kit Doe on how they're shipping thousands of dollars in supplies.
Like so many of us, Sasha Mozichuk was looking for a way to ease the suffering of her family and countrymen in Ukraine. Sasha came up with the idea to ask her boss, Dr. Kamakshi Zeidler, to buy professional-grade medical supplies and that Sasha would pay for it herself with 1 month of her nurse's salary.
And which to me just seems crazy. you know,
it's just a month's pay.
It's just a month's pay, but I mean, I knew that we could do more.
It turns out during the early days of the pandemic, Dr. Zeidler amassed a storage unit full of surgical supplies.
We definitely stockpiled a few times over.
Syringes, gowns and gloves, IV fluids, cleaning wipes and disinfectant, all told $20,000 worth.
We've kind of come through our local needs getting through COVID, and so there's another place where that can be put to good use.
It was packed onto a truck, piled onto six pallets with a total weight of more than 3,000 pounds. The challenge now, how to get it all onto the front lines of war-torn Ukraine.
Do you have experience shipping things?
Absolutely none.
we do now.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
We learned, yes. So this is our, what we call it, back storage.
Leon Kogan is one of the leaders of Hearts for Ukraine, a local Bay Area group made up of hundreds of volunteers who seem to have cracked the code on how to get supplies into the country. They partnered with the Ukrainian consulate to get a monthly list of most urgent items.
We're really doing it pinpointing donations. When somebody's requesting it, we're trying to fulfill it and deliver it to them who actually request it.
Over the past several months, they've built relationships with trucking companies and airlines and have developed a network of volunteers on the ground in Ukraine who make last-mile deliveries while dodging Russian bombs and missiles.
I have to give it to all the volunteers there in Ukraine that are really willing to risk their lives.
Hearts for Ukraine gets photos of the goods while in transit and pictures of the donations once delivered. The group got confirmation that the medical supplies from Aesthetics made it into Ukraine sometime Monday.
Put smiles on their faces, and it makes a huge difference.
Every little bit
helps.
Coming out of the ashes of COVID and now seeing the way that this Silicon Valley community came together, I do have a lot of hope for human nature.
In Campbell, Kit Doe, KPIX5.
All right, thanks for watching. 60 Minutes is next.
And we'll see you back here at 11 o'clock. Until then, the news continues on KPIX.com. Winter eclipse 30 minutes away. For now, good night.
Good night.